Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet Show. This is your host, Marcia McMahon, and we have a wonderful show planned today with you. We have the real Crystal Skull Explorer. We have Joshua Shapiro here with us in my living room today. We are doing a recorded session for those that might be listening on the Thanksgiving weekend. However, we are also being heard on Station 2 at BBS. So if you're tuning in and you happen to press Station 2 and you have questions, you can call in at 530-776-5154. So we look forward to hearing from any of our listening audience that may be out there today. And so I have a few announcements before we proceed. Of course, our music is synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Bob Murray, and you were listening to Remarkable Nebulae, which is a rendition that's inspired from spirit, from the other side, and we feel that it's John Lennon who's inspiring these wonderful songs. And so with the thought of Remarkable Nebulae and the universe and everything, we're going to be exploring one of the world's most ancient mysteries, and one that has really never been solved before. And before we get to that, I have a couple of announcements for my listeners. I want to remind you that as we go into the holiday season, that my book is on sale, With Love from Diana, Queen of Hearts, Messages from Heaven for a New Age of Peace. And if you are sincere about helping to create peace on the planet, you might think about picking up the book, which is on sale for the holiday season, for just $13, marked down from $18. And Diana reaches out to former diplomats she knew in life with urgent messages to solve the Middle East peace process before it's too late. And it's an important book, and if you believe in world peace and doing your part, then picking up a copy of the book or sharing it with someone would be a very good thing to do. Now, my personal site is www.dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Also want to remind you that I'm a psychic medium and I do readings. And if you are interested in signing up for a reading, those are also on sale for the holidays. Moving into the next year is also very important. So visit my site at dianaspeakstotheworld.com. Now I'd like to begin. I'm sitting here with Joshua in the living room, and it's such an honor and pleasure to have him on our show, live and personal, and I'm amazed at the energy that is coming out of the central skull here as I'm looking at it. These skull pictures are going to be posted on the show page when the show airs again. It's not posted today, but I want to go into this a little bit. I'm going to read Joshua's entire bio, and then we're going to be speaking with him most of the hour about these fascinating mysteries. One of the most mysterious artifacts that has been discovered upon our planet are known as the crystal skulls. A crystal skull is simply defined as an ancient artifact discovered made from various types of quartz crystals that has the appearance of a human size or larger skull. Most of these ancient crystal skulls have been uncovered near or within ancient ruins located in Mexico or Central America, possibly linked to the Mesoamerican cultures of this region. However, within recent years, crystal skulls are now surfacing or being reported in other parts of the world, such as South America, Europe, and Asia. Those of you that are more curious and want to download Joshua's ebook should now, while you're listening, visit his website at www.v-j-enterprises.com, and that will take you to many pictures and the ebook, and you can find out and look at these amazing artifacts online. I'm going to read a little bit of Joshua's bio, and then we're going to be speaking with him personally, and he's right here today with me. We can also take your calls if you happen to be tuned into Station 2. Joshua Shapiro is known as a crystal skull explorer. He has worked with various friends over the years to offer numerous special public events related to the crystal skull, including recently various festivals and conferences where several crystal skulls and their guardians have come together. Joshua saw his first ancient crystal skull in San Jose, California in 1983. made from amethyst crystal quartz, which is known as AMI. Over the years, Joshua, now working closely with Blue Arrow Rainbow, has given numerous presentations throughout the U.S., Europe, South America, and Australia. He's also a crystal skull investigator and author and caretaker of 4 crystal skulls. Now it's 5. I'm looking at 5 right now. They're amazing. Joshua is the coordinator for the World Mystery Research Center. See the website? A nonprofit center set up to research various world mysteries from both a scientific and a paranormal perspective. Starting in 2004, working with Blue Arrow Rainbow, 3 crystal skull conferences were set up in Switzerland through the Hayaka Foundation in Switzerland and 2 international festivals, the first in Holland in 2006 and a second one in Hungary in 2007. See crystalskullevents.org for more details. Joshua is the sponsor of this website called the VJ Enterprises that was one of the first websites in 95 to begin to share information about the crystal skulls. Starting in 2008, more crystal skull-related events are planned throughout the world. Continuing to work with very clear friends who are active with crystal skulls, Joshua and Blue Arrow Rainbow's new book will also be released in 2009. So, Joshua, welcome to our program. It's a pleasure to have you right here in my living room. What an honor.
Thank you very much for your invitation, Marcia.
Well, it's great to see these skulls, and they are really interesting. I'm expecting at any minute for one of them to just levitate off my coffee table. What do you say the chances are for that?
Well, I've not seen them do that, but when I was in England recently, we were meditating in the Glastonbury Tor, which is this big tower that's on the hill over Glastonbury.
Wow.
And a person from Holland who was meditating with us while we were toning said he saw the big skull, which is called Portal de Luz, Portal of Light, actually levitate, but my eyes were closed, so I can't verify that that's what happened.
So there is some report of that. That's interesting because that's the one I was expecting to see levitate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be focusing in on these skulls throughout the hour, and once you start talking about the skulls, I'm just going to quiet myself in my mind and see if I'm getting any messages or any impressions. Being psychic, there's a lot of psychics that can tune into crystals in general because they contain information.
Absolutely.
So we know, it's thought, I believe the theory goes, that these skulls go all the way back to Atlantis. But tell us what you know about their origins.
Well, there are 3 different types of crystal skulls I want to identify so the listeners understand. The ones which I travel with are all ones that were made within recent years, so we call these contemporary or new skulls. The ones that have fascinated people for, I don't know, I guess since the 1930s or possibly even earlier are known as the ancient skulls, which are believed to have been created anywhere from about 2,000 years ago till 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 or later. The problem in identifying the age of the skull from a physical perspective is we really don't have a specific technique that can do this. Most of the information that we receive about these older skulls either comes through people who are sensitives that sit with them or from the legends told to us by various indigenous tribes. Not all, for example, where here in America, and I have talked with some of the Native American teachers and shamans and elders. Not all of the tribes are familiar with crystal skulls, but apparently there are a few. The ones that you're going to be working with, I'd like to introduce them so that the people listening will have some idea if you do channel message which one is speaking. The largest one I have is a 10-pound smoky quartz skull that was made by a Brazilian carver in 1998, and it was mined in Brazil. The name Portal de Luz is Portuguese. Like I said, it's Portal of Light. This is the one that has traveled with me since that time. What's very interesting about Portal de Luz is that he started to speak to me telepathically even from the very first day I received him as a gift from my second ex-wife, Vera, who's Brazilian, at a conference in Sedona. And he was explaining to me how all of the crystal skulls, especially when the new ones become activated, which is when the crystal wakes up and spirits work through them, they're all linked together through an etheric energy network. And so he started talking to me about this, and And then a couple of months after I received him, he starts saying, we should go out and share our work together, which means my intuitive consultation and the energy which he broadcasts. And I thought, oh, I think you're a little bit off here, because the people at this time back in the late 1990s, they wanted to visit with the ancient skulls. The new skulls were just starting to come out, and many people were starting to feel they'd like to have one, but the ones that were drawing people were the ancient ones. But I said, okay, well, we'll try it and see what happens. So now about 9 years later, after doing over 1,000 sessions with him, and watching the kind of things that have happened to people, he completely made me a believer. Basically, what's happening with the new skulls, as I've observed and I've listened to people who've had contact with them, is first, it's like, you know, they're like children, they're growing, and the key is that you need to work with them and take them out and expose them to different energies in the world. Like all of my skulls, most of them have gone into crop circles. Some of them have gone with me to Peru, to sacred sites in England, different places we travel, Sedona, etc. But also, too, when they're working with people, it seems like that kind of contact also helps to bring them to life. So of the five skulls I have here, including Portal de Luz, they each have their own personality, their own name, and their own way which they work with people. The other four skulls that are sitting here, if your listeners can visualize this, of course, they can go to the website and see the pictures as well.
We'll be posting them online
right.
as well.
There's a little tiny rose quartz skull. It's about 1 pound, also carved in Brazil, and the quartz is from Brazil, called Little Indian Princess. And this name is in honor of Blue Arrow Rainbow, because when I met her in 2001, she's kind of a short person. She was born in Holland, but she looks very much like a Native American or Peruvian or different kind of Indian people. And I just called her Little Indian Princess. So when she gifted me the skull, I felt that was the appropriate name to give her. Rose quartz works with the heart and heart chakra and emotions. Now, in England in September, I didn't expect this to happen, and when you're traveling with crystal skulls, you never know what's going to happen. But the friend who helped me to coordinate what we called a crystal skull taster, which its purpose was to initiate the energies to create a festival in England, she gifted to me a very small amethyst crystal skull, which looks like an ET being. She calls it a star beam. And maybe some people might think it looks a little bit like the gray aliens or whatever. So when I was In October, I was in Los Angeles, and I was just meditating with music with that one, and there were several very powerful purple rays of light that hit me. And then what happened was, is the time the skull gave me the name, and it said his name is the King, the one who points the way. And so I felt that the beings that were helping to activate or initiate this skull were either extraterrestrial or dimensional beings.
I'm sitting here looking at it right now, Joshua, and it totally looks extraterrestrial. The eyes are pointing way,
right. Exactly.
Way up. And there are theories, of course, that that some of the original ancient skulls originate from other planets, and that they're interdimensional, that they're ways for communicating.
That's correct, and I will come to that after I finish introducing the other skulls.
Sure, yes, go right ahead.
There are a number of these star beam skulls that are being carved now by some carver in China, and I've seen them in all kinds of sizes, from the little tiny one I have to much larger, even larger than Portal de Luz. The crystal skull, the next crystal skull is also a smoky quartz crystal skull, but it's much darker,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Geronimo Golden Eagle Eye. I just came, prior to my visit here with you, Marcia, visiting with a Native American chief in Missouri, and this is the crystal skull, he tells me, which is my Native American skull. In other words, it encapsulates the energies of the Native Americans, and he has a personal relationship with it. After I visited with this Native American chief in August, the skull completely changed. The internal was very clear, and now as people look at it, there's all kinds of patterns and lines and things that are inside of him. And since that time, many people who have any interest in Native American are immediately drawn to him. He's about a 2 pound skull, also was carved in Brazil, actually by the same carver as Portal de Luz. And the last skull that I travel with is called Purple Starbright. It's another amethyst skull. It's about 1.5 pounds or so, 2 pounds. I don't know its history. I don't know where the quartz came from or who the carver was. I picked it up when I was at the Body Mind Spirit Expo in Chicago this March.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt that I needed to bring amethyst into my circle because at that point I had 2 smoky quartz skulls and a rose quartz skull. But then the other name that was given to me is when I looked at Purple Star Rife, it looked like one eye was open and one was closed. So I thought one eye has to be part of her name. And then when I was driving one time, I heard, no, it's Zippy One Eye. So this is her other name. I met in this trip. I went to Atlanta and worked for a weekend in the beginning of November. There was a Native American teacher I met, and Zippy started to literally become alive and was changing color around them. So I left the skull with he and his wife, and they did, you know, smudging and drumming and ceremony, and they told me that she's now linked to the energy of the womb. So what I feel I have in my circle of 5 skulls is I have 2 skulls which take on a masculine energy, which would be the king and Geronimo. Portal de Luz was always masculine for me, but within this year, he started to also take on the energy of the Mother Earth, and now he's kind of androgynous. He has both energies there.
That's interesting. I was picking up on androgyny from him, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is hard for me because I've always seen him as masculine. So this is the problem when you are a caretaker, is as you start to work with the skulls in your sessions or letting people hold them or meditate with them, they're going to be constantly changing. So periodically I have to re-meditate with them because it's almost like their energy is so different. I don't recognize them. And then Little Indian Princess and Purple Star Bright are definitely carrying a more feminine energy. So I think the 5 skulls have a good balance. When I did the sessions in Atlanta on this recent trip, people were really feeling quite powerful energies from all of them. I believe with the new skulls, what happens is the process is first they come to the caretaker or the guardian. By the way, they are picking the person. We are not picking them. Then there is a process of getting to know each other, and then usually there will be some kind of an initiation or activation that goes on. And then they take on a name and a personality, and they tell to the caretaker if they want to work with people or not. In the case of my skulls, their message is very simple. If anyone comes up and wants to hold or touch me, they are allowed. You may never say no. So that's the way that it works with my skulls.
Well, may I touch Portal de Luz right now?
Sure.
I was wondering if that'd be all right.
Yes, of course.
Wow, thank you.
In the case of Blue Air Rainbow, who I lost count how many skulls she has in her circle, I know between her and her daughter they have over 100. There is one crystal skull, which I went to see with her in Colorado that she eventually obtained, that only allows certain people to be able to work with him, and that one also has a grandfather energy to her. So, as I said, the skulls take on personality and so on. Now, let's come back to the issue you brought up about, could the very ancient crystal skulls have actually been gifts from the gods or from the extraterrestrial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course, this is one of our theories, and this theory basically comes from some research that has been done. Like, for example, the most famous crystal skull in the world is known as the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull of Love.
Mm-hmm.
This one was found in Belize in 1923 in the ruins of a Mayan city. That's in Central America. F.A. Mitchell Hedges, who was kind of an Indiana Jones-type personality in the 20s and the 30s, he felt drawn to go to Central America to find evidence of lost Atlantis. And on the 17th birthday of his adopted daughter, Anna Mitchell Hedges, she was climbing up a tall pyramid and she saw something reflecting sunlight from within the pyramid. So she got her father and the local natives to help, and they lifted very heavy stones, and eventually they were able to lower Anna Mitchell Hedges into the pyramid. She went to where the sun was reflecting the light and pulled out what was the top part of the skull, because this particular skull is 2 pieces. The lower jaw is separate from the top part.
Wow.
And the lower
is it one of those smiling ones? What's the smiling?
Well, what they have that they're offering now is what they call singing skulls.
Singing,
but it's one piece with an open jaw. But there are modern carvers today who are actually carving crystal skulls with 2 pieces, with the lower jaw being detachable with the Mitchell Hedges skull. So this one is considered to be by some an ancient. I mean, there's been some programs where they said they found some tool marks on it, which they think are modern, so they right away say, okay, it's a modern skull. But what people have to understand is, let's say you have a very ancient skull, and somebody in the modern world decides they don't like some part of it, so they go ahead and they make modifications to it. According to the modern scientists and archaeologists, then it becomes a modern skull. And I think what we have to do with the skulls is we have to work with their energy, have to feel what's going on. Because for me, when I'm in the presence of these very old skulls, ancient skulls, they seem to have different levels of energy and intensity, which is not necessarily reflected in the new ones. Although the new ones are becoming quite powerful in their own right. But to me, the new ones are basically hosting energies from today so that they can help the people of today.
Mm-hmm.
Where the ancient skulls, which could have energies they've recorded from civilizations far in the distant past, like Atlantis
mm-hmm.
or Lemuria, or they're bringing energies from the extraterrestrials who brought them, or from people from the inner earth, if people believe in that theory about people that live inside. Sometimes for most people, those energies are so intense, it's very difficult for them to deal with it. So this is the reason why the new skulls are as important. Now getting back to the theory about the extraterrestrials, so in the Mitchell Hedges skull, which I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
when the co-authors of my first book, which is basically out of print, although we do...
Well, what is the title on that, Joshua?
That one is called Mysteries of the Crystal Skulls Revealed. Came out in 1989, and I still have a couple hundred copies left of it, but it's basically out of print. When the other two co-authors of that book went to Canada, where the Mitchell Hedges skull was, and they were exposing the skull to different colors, light, sound, human energy,
mm-hmm.
they were actually able to photograph, and we have it in the book, a UFO that appears from underneath the chin. They had a glass plate on Miss Mitchell Hedges' table, so they could take pictures of the crystal skull from underneath
mm-hmm.
it, and very clearly there appears a UFO. Now, whether this UFO is just evidence that the crystal skull has the capacity to work like a video camera, where it's recording everything that goes on around it, and when the proper frequency of energy is given to the skull, then it replays these pictures and images, or whether it was actually showing that the crystal skulls have some connection with UFOs, it's unknown. But there are people who are in the presence of the ancient skulls that either go into altered state of consciousness, or, like in my case, I can remember being in Atlantis and seeing the contact with the extraterrestrials at that time, and also, you know, in some other cultures too, like I have a connection with Peru, and I think also extraterrestrials were involved with...
Oh, I definitely confirm that. I've been to Peru too.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Nazca lines, those didn't just get there. Yeah.
Exactly. So part of the reason that we think the extraterrestrials might be involved is because some of the ancient skulls are so intricate in its creation,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult for us to believe that primitive people in the Mesoamerican cultures who did not have these diamond-tipped tools that the modern carvers had today or didn't have lasers or whatever that could have possibly created crystal skulls, how they were able to manufacture them. So it either leads us to believe that either there were very advanced cultures like Lemuria or Atlantis on the planet, or the extraterrestrials brought the crystal skulls as gifts to humanity as a tool to help to awaken consciousness.
Well, if I may propose a theory that I read in another book.
Sure.
I read Pat Corey's trilogy. It starts with The Cosmos of Soul. She's another person on our radio network here and has some fascinating channeled information from the Syrian hosts or the star Sirius that ascended. And I remember reading in her books a fascinating account of there being 13 original crystal skulls that were brought here, possibly from that area of the universe, and that each of them needed to be found before the year 2012 in order to activate or to assist the activation of our consciousness and raise it up right before we go through the ascension process of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, her ascension material is unlike anybody else's, but I have, you know, encountered this theory before of the 13 crystal skulls, the ancient ones, and it is interesting that, that society now is, well, I mean, the mass consciousness, of course, with the Indiana Jones movie that was released this spring or summer, you know, they're picking up on this phenomenon, and it's not just a new age phenomenon now. There truly is a lot of mystery and a lot of conjecture, of course. And of course, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that necessarily her books have the final answer on it, because I think these skulls are going to remain quite mysterious. But I want to say, too, my experience that I'm having here with Portal Deleuze is that I'm seeing some beautiful aquamarine color that's being reflected through a crystal in my window, and it's also coming through the skull right there. And I don't know what the significance of that is. It's just a tiny speck of light. But, you know, you can get meanings and messages from crystals. Many psychics work directly with crystals. I'm not one of them. But I know that according to even the Edgar Cayce readings that he said, and he was one of the first in the 20th century to re-examine the purpose of crystals. And as I'm saying this, all this light is pouring into me. I'm sensing light coming in from that crystal and from the sun. I remember a past life myself in Atlantis where we were using these giant crystals to actually heal people. And I was a priestess in a temple, and this was a fabulous past life. I couldn't even identify. I didn't know where I was. And I was regressed maybe a year ago, and I saw myself holding this giant crystal where we were attempting to heal people that had been damaged with genetic manipulation. Sounds familiar. I mean, you know, we're doing genetic manipulation again today. And there were some lessons learned in Atlantis that probably are not completely learned today. But the gist of it is that I was using a crystal to heal and alter DNA. And I have no knowledge today of how that would be done. But I'm looking at this powerful skull you've got here thinking, wow, now the sun is coming through that. I wonder if that skull can heal people.
Well, he definitely, in the sessions, there have been people who have received healings from him. Actually, all five of the skulls that I have here, because each work in a different way. So this is part, I think, of the purpose of the crystal skulls coming out now, or the new skulls being activated, is to do the healing work. And but it's unpredictable in which way the skulls will help people. It's, you know, there's no way to know. I've watched so many different phenomena happen in the session with them, or heard stories from people who I've granted, you know, to sleep with them in the evening and what they've talked about. So I know with Portal Deleuze, several people said when they slept with him, they had one of the best night's sleep they had ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And the scientific research we conducted with him, what he was doing is he was helping to balance the energy of people. In other words, we would use devices that are sensitive to, like, meridian energy in people, and
mm-hmm.
they would be blindfolded, and then we would put this skull there so they didn't know what they were being tested with. And the machine would show in their chakras or in the different meridian energies in the body they were balanced. What I would like to do, though, is come back to that theory about 13, because
mm-hmm. yeah.
It's very important, and it comes up repeatedly from many different places. There are different theories about 13 crystal skulls. I know Patricia Corey, as you said, has one. There is another theory that's talked about by the Native Americans, who said that there also were 13 original crystal skulls.
Wonderful.
Possibly that they were existing during the time of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. I resonate with that.
Yeah.
That seems true.
And then what happened is when Atlantis was destroyed, they were kind of... they went to different parts of the world,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And again, as the prophecy you said, and this is what I feel a resonance to, is that when those skulls are brought together, and it will have nothing to do with us, it will have to do with the skulls themselves.
Because mm-hmm.
I believe these skulls are living beings unto themselves, and they may also have crystal bodies as well, that this will be a catalyst for helping to shift our planet into golden age.
Mm-hmm. I go with that. I think that's a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought to hold to. Keep going, yes.
Right. However, both Blue Air Rainbow and I and a few other people believe that none, absolutely none, of the original crystal skulls have yet come out yet.
Hmm.
So all the ones that have come out, those we call ancient, or old or new,
mm-hmm.
are basically helping humanity to prepare to get accustomed to the energy of the crystal skulls. And that when it's the right moment and the right time, because the energy connected to these, what are being called original ones, is so high and so great. It's like what happened to people when they discovered King Tut. Many became ill or died because the energy around his artifacts was so high they couldn't deal with it.
I remember that. I taught that many times in my art history classes, and I'm thinking this would be an interesting offshoot in ancient art history, wouldn't it? Now, I remember reading that, and somehow, I don't think it's just reading. I remember something, because I think I'm tapping into some universal Akashic wisdom at the moment, that the Atlanteans buried these in caves throughout the world, some of which may still be underwater, and some are on continents, and that there was a purposeful burying of them in order to keep this information energy from darker intents.
Yes, we've heard something to this order. I don't know if they were buried in caves, but I mean, this is the problem with the theory of the 13 skulls. There's probably like about 10 or 12 different versions of it, you know, including the Mayans talking about that there are 52 special skulls, which would be four sets of 13.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And actually, in my travels, I've seen a few skulls which in design are very similar. So almost as if there's a certain set that they go together with. I think the most important thing, though, is to understand that what the crystal skull is basically doing is they're like little energy vortexes.
Mm-hmm.
And that as they're being able to travel the world, and as there are people like myself, and it's not so easy transporting them, like when I was in L.A., they wouldn't allow Portal de Luz to go on the plane, and he's very delicate, so there was some damage on his right side.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm going to have to take him to a carver to see when I meet one that can try to develop, round it off like we did before.
Hmm.
Because even though quartz crystal is hard, it's still, you know, if you drop it or something, it can crack or whatever. So
uh-huh.
you have to take really good care of it.
Yeah.
But,
well, this one is so intriguing. I've been looking at it all hour now, and it reminds me of when I look at the crystal, and you know, it's interesting his name is Portal de Luz, because as we speak, and I know you're seeing this too, Joshua, that
yeah.
the sun is coming right through,
yeah.
and it's almost creating a solar alignment with Portal de Luz, and that's very interesting that that's his name. And the other thing that I'm fascinated with visually is the experience of looking at the skull, and it, when you look through this smoky quartz crystal, isn't it almost as though you're looking at parts of the brain and the blood vessels? I mean, it looks anatomical in some weird way with the crystal formations in there.
Well, each person who looks at any crystal skull, and especially one like Portal de Luz, which has a lot of patterns inside of him, are going to see different things. And the problem I have is he's constantly changing. So even, I haven't looked at him for a long time, and even as I'm looking at him here, I'm going, God, in these last trips we've taken, you've really changed again a lot. So it's almost like I don't recognize him. The comment that you're making about the sun does remind me of a story that's told in Jamie Sam's book, The 13 Clan Mothers. And there she was able to speak to some of her indigenous teachers who did know about crystal skulls, and they said that on Turtle Island, which might be when the different continents were together.
Like oh, yeah, Turtle Island, that makes sense.
Right.
Like
that there
Pangaea.
Was, right, there was a special house that they would meet, and in the house were 13 crystal skulls.
Wow.
And when the sun would come through the house, And also there was a Native American elder too I interviewed from Canada who talked about this also. When the sunlight would come through and start hitting these skulls, which were probably one in the center and 12 around, that they would immediately reflect on the walls of this house all kinds of pictures and images, like the history of the whole planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's many of these legends and stories that we hear. So what it makes it remarkable is we're only speaking about a piece of quartz crystal that's in the shape of the skull, but yet These crystal skulls are discussed by many indigenous cultures in the world. They are affecting thousands upon thousands of people in the world right now. They are containing some kind of energy fields around them, electromagnetic energy fields around them. People are being changed by being in the presence of them, are having profound dreams, are getting healed, are having their creative gifts activated, their spiritual gifts activated. So just from this summary, what I can tell you is that the study, which I've done for about 25 years now, probably could go on for lifetimes.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that's going on around them. And basically what I feel is very important that I'm working on right now is when I can travel to different places, of course I go, I give talks, but I also allow people to have the direct experience. But I'm very dedicated to trying to find other people who are working with crystal skulls to say, we must work together.
Mm-hmm.
We must honor each other's work, even if we don't agree point for point what our understanding is about the crystal skulls. We should try to work together, and that's the reason why we created those festivals in Europe. And we are trying to work on a festival here for America.
I'd love to come.
And also in England, but we don't have anything specific yet.
Well, you'll certainly keep me updated on that. But, you know, I agree because I feel that whenever you're dealing with mysterious and unknown artifacts, such as the crystal skulls, it bears not only the merits of current archaeological data and historical data, but when you combine it, as you do, with the open mind to the psychic realms, and the fact that we as psychics anyway know that a great deal of information is stored in these crystals, it adds to the depth and the meaning. So while others may try to debunk this kind of thinking, actually, I found out it's closer to the truth than a lot of people are ready to accept. But it's just like, you know, the Holy Grail mysteries and the Da Vinci Code. There's certain things that are coming out right now, which reminds me, I want to speak on another thing, which is that the ancient Atlanteans, we know, used crystals. And then I was recently reading a book by Dolores Cannon, who is on our network here, and it was called Essene's Children of the Light. And they were talking about how the Essene sect, which was a Hebrew sect in Israel, they were the mystics of Israel, and I remember a past life in Israel as an Essene. But that being said, I want to say that they used crystals, and their heritage with crystals came all the way from Atlantis. So the Egyptians. But I want to say that this one right here is giving me an eye that's facing this way, near his eye socket, and I'm not sure if you can see that, Joshua, but I particularly resonate with the leader in Egypt known as Akhenaten, and I am feeling right now that this has some kind of a unique connection to Akhenaten. And so you never know what you're going to get from these crystals.
No, each one is different. Portal de Luz, the skull you were looking at,
mm-hmm.
was initiated by Mayan priests.
Mm-hmm.
In Sedona, and also I'm being reminded too of a research that was done on him in Belgium. There is a device called Lekker Antenna. What this device is, it's like a dowsing rod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it's the metal parts flip, but it has numbers on the side. And what it allows the practitioner to do is to measure precise energies because they know like 7.5 represents something or whatever. So what happened was we went to the house of a friend, and the teacher who was helping the people to understand how to work with this device was there, and he was saying, oh, nothing's going to happen. This is just a piece of quartz crystal. It does see the energy of quartz. And then they were amazed because Portal de Luz was emanating all the frequencies of the five senses of a human being.
Oh, my God.
And then they also said there was some energy coming from the earth going inside of him, which they didn't understand. And then the next thing we did is we took him out into the backyard. Now, this is up for debate because we heard one thing and the researchers said another. But it seemed as if when we placed him on the ground that there was some kind of earth energy lines that appeared that weren't there before.
Like ley lines.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, this might be verified because another instance, we went to a crop circle in England where we had a crop circle researcher working with us who had a device that was sensitive to the electromagnetic energies in the crop circle, and he was able to measure these earth energy lines or ley lines. And what he did is he positioned Blue Arrow Rainbow holding Portal de Luz where two of the energy lines crossed in the crop circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another energy line that was coming in directly from behind her. As soon as she started to meditate with Portal de Luz, that energy line split into two pieces and never came back together for all the other people that we tested. So I asked a researcher, I said, have you ever seen that where an energy line in a crop circle split? He said, no. Now, in talking with Blue Arrow Rainbow after her meditation, she said that she went into an altered state because this is her gift. She can do this easily. And she was having contact with extraterrestrials. And the conversation basically went as such. They said, we don't understand you humans. Here we've gone ahead and we've created this beautiful pattern for you. I think it was a pattern of an Irish knot, which is kind of like an infinity symbol in a way.
Oh, I'm very familiar with the Irish knot.
Right.
They're throughout the, they're called Irish interlace is
right.
What the name is. And
right.
I've been over there and yeah.
Right. So they made an Irish knot. And it was like, you know, we were just trying to prove that it was a real crop circle. And they were doing it for us to enjoy it. So it was like they didn't understand us. So it could have been that because the extraterrestrials were present, with the energy of the crystal skull, with the energy of Blue Air Rainbow, who is a very gifted channel, that this is what caused the energy line to split, because it normally doesn't happen.
Hmm. That's interesting. Now, I'm still seeing the eye,
mm-hmm.
and it looks just like a, you know, in Egyptian hieroglyphics, how
yeah.
they'll draw a picture of a king or a pharaoh, and that the nose is to the side, but the eye is facing frontally.
Right.
Well, I see the eye socket,
mm-hmm.
but this eye is actually facing me, and the message that I'm getting, and I'm finally able to tune into this skull, is that we are seeing everything that you do.
Of course. They record everything. And this is reflected to in when we test the skulls after they've been with different people, it seems like energetically they've shifted or they've grown or they've become more active. And I don't know exactly what's happening on the planet right now, but I've noticed that the skulls are really like fired up much faster than I've ever seen them before. So I think that there's something that's happening on an energetic level, which maybe we're not quite feeling yet, but they're very sensitive because they come from the earth. Of course, quartz are in the Mother Earth, so they're part
mm-hmm.
of it.
Yeah.
But the response that I'm hearing from people, I mean, I would call myself a proud papa. I call them my crystal kids, but I'm very happy that, you know, people are being able to work with them and receiving a benefit. But the benefit that's being reported by people and the intensity has shifted within the last few months. I don't know.
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of us that work with I work with the angelic realms as well as the ascended masters, and I do a lot of channeling with group souls, one of them being Ra. And the information I have on ascension is that, you know, 2012 is the big bang sort of thing. That's when things are going to really start firing up. So, you know, we're leading up to this. Now, you know, there's a lot of different theories about what's going to happen in 2012, and everybody has a different opinion. I'm not into the doomsday, but I do feel that we are entering a place in time where we are being asked to make some choices on a personal level to refine ourselves and become more attuned psychically, spiritually, and attune our bodies, mind, and spirit to the higher vibrations, because Earth, I'm told, is going to enter a higher vibration in 2012, which is going to refine the energies of humanity and, you know, usher in the so-called golden age. This is what I have from my channeling. But I also have other scenarios from the channeling as well. The Earth changes are happening, so we're almost in a phase that I would call it quickening, where our energies are being raised.
Yeah.
And they're helping us with that. And it's very important not to push the panic button and not to go into fear. And I think the skulls are aiding us in allowing us to open our our cosmic awareness.
Definitely.
But at the same time, because they conduct the energy of the sun, and the sun is what the Mayans call the era of the fifth sun. The fifth sun doesn't occur until 2012. We've got this incredible mystery, this incredible alignment that these ancient artifacts and even modern artifacts are able somehow contain a divine imprint, a divine intelligence. They also transmit and refract light. So, you know, it's almost like the solar devices of some kind of intelligence. As I'm sitting here picking up on all this, I'm defining it as I go. And I hope you don't mind me extrapolating a little bit on 2012. I want to ask you what you think about that.
I am in agreement, Marcia, exactly what you said. And December 21st, 2012,
exactly.
As the Mayans say, I believe the world will shift and go into a higher vibrational state.
Exactly.
But it's not just the Earth. The entire solar system has to
Precisely.
Move forward.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has happened to me, and I cannot prove this, but I'll just share my experience.
Oh, thank you.
You know, your listeners can decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm, precisely.
Is I have a guide whose name is Argus. And Argus says, he is who I will become in this lifetime after 2012. Now, on my website, I have a story which we're working towards to create an action-adventure film
mm-hmm.
called Crystal Skull Chronicles. And what happened is for a book called Soul Connections, which Blue Arrow Rainbow and I, we wrote something about our spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
What I offered to her was the vision of the future. And as I reread it, I realized that it was Arjun speaking through me.
Wonderful.
Years ago, and I didn't recognize it, because when I reread it, I said, did I write that? And it was very difficult. But anyway, what Arjun shows me is that this world absolutely is going to see total peace. But
yeah.
The challenge is for each of us is that because the planet's going to go into a higher state, not all of the people that are here right now are ready for this higher state.
That's right.
Now, it may sound, I don't know how can I express this, but of course for people who believe in the paranormal, death is not the end of everything. It is just a transition.
Correct.
Where we go back into spirit and then we get to re-decide, okay, which planet in God's infinite universe do we want to come to in order to learn our lesson?
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is another planet that's already prepared for the people on this planet who are not ready for this shift, because this shift must happen for all the planets. It's not just for the Earth.
Precisely.
And for the entire solar system, that they will be able to continue to go through the lessons like they have here. And then there's other people who are star people, let's say, those people who are extraterrestrial, that they come from the other planets, they're born as a human being, they will get to go home. But then there are people, other people, and I believe I'm part of this group, that we're going to stay. So for the new children that are being born now and everything, that they have this very peaceful world. Now, there was one place I went to. It's called Alto Paraíso, which means high paradise. It's in Brazil. It's about 2 hours away from Brasilia. Many people, when they go there, they don't want to leave. The energy is so wonderful there.
It's Alto Paraíso.
Yeah. And there are UFOs that land there on the airport, and I was
felt
communication from extraterrestrials with cities or bases in the mountain, but there's so much crystal there, they say when a satellite goes over that place, they can see light. Now, anyway, as I was walking towards this building I was going to do a presentation to in this city, I momentarily lost my sense of self, and I found myself in the future for one moment in the same place.
Wow.
Okay, and the people there said that Alto Paraíso could become where the the Council of Humanity will meet.
Well,
we are a unified race.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like a proof for me that we will survive and we will go into the future. And this is exactly why the crystal skulls are coming out now. They're coming out to help us to get more in touch with that inner part of ourselves.
Exactly. Well, that is a marvelous vision of the future, Joshua. And as you were explaining that, I was getting some goosebumps and some energy as a confirmation. You know, those of you listening that are developing your psychic skills, you know, when you get goosebumps, when you feel that you're experiencing a statement of truth,
right.
You check it with your intuition,
right.
And that is how you know. So you know, I know too for myself that at some point, you know, we will all transition. It could be at that time of 2012. And if that is the case, you're going on an entirely new adventure, because when you're on the new earth, you're not even necessarily, as far as my guides tell me, you're not even going to feel it. You're going to feel much the same. You may not be in your physical vehicle. You'll be in a light vehicle,
right,
but it's going to be much the same. And humanity has made so many errors, and there's so much negativity, and all of this is going to be cleansed at that point in time, too.
So the key for right now, for any person listening, is really you have to trust your intuition, your inner feeling, the messages you receive. Pay attention, because this is the only way that you'll be able to, you know, understand what's going to be coming up. Many changes are going on. Now, is it possible, Marcia, I could just talk a little bit about the new book coming out in the website?
Absolutely. And then, you know, we're almost at our time, and we want a little time for music at the end. But
okay,
that's fine, Joshua. Just tell us more. We want to get your book.
Okay. The new book that will be coming out is going to be called Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers.
Wonderful.
This will be done with Blue Owl Rainbow. And just recently, I finally figured out how we're going to get out in America. It's been in Europe in three countries.
Oh, really?
We're going to work with a self-publisher who I probably will be making an agreement with shortly.
Wonderful. Congrats.
And thank you. And then I'm going to have to finish it, and we hope it'll be out February or March.
Well, I want to have you back, because there's so much more to discover and explore. And so when you do have the book, if you let me know, and then we'll certainly put you on air again, because
okay,
I'm sure that the wisdom just builds as you go, does
exactly,
it not?
Exactly.
And, you know, I've had such a wonderful time being with you in my living room. And do we have any questions from our audience of one that we have another guest here? Her name is Char, and she's a dear friend, and she comes to my spiritual study group here. Did you have a question before we end? If you do, just say so, and I'll hand you the phone. Okay, we'll take one question. Yes, people.
No, I just wanted to know how long you've had each one of the skulls that you have here.
Right, the big skull for Cal de Luz came in 1999, and then I believe Geronimo was 2004, and Little Indian Princess was gifted in 2007, and then the two amethyst skull came this year in 2008.
Oh.
So not so long. So that's why I'm surprised that some of the newer ones already are carrying energy. So it shows everything is speeding up.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way, if people want to have a contact, is just go on Google and just look on Joshua Shapiro, and you'll find
the information on
right,
the crystal skulls. Yes, and I hate to end it, but we are out of time today, and we're going to have to sign off for the hour. You were listening to The Peaceful Planet. We want to recommend Joshua Shapiro's website and his new book coming out in March of this year. And do go on the site and look at the crystal skulls and see what energetically they're saying to you. And we thank you so much, Joshua, for joining us. And we're going to close out with some very special music from Bob Murray. And we're going to listen to, let me get my selection here just a minute, Prelude to Savannah, which is being created from the other side. And you can visit Bob's site at www.thestarstillshine.com. You can visit my site at dianaspeakstotheworld.com, where you can sign up for a reading. And we thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And please join us next week. Thank you again, Joshua. It was really an honor to have you here with us.
A pleasure for me as well.
All right. Wonderful.